Unfortunately, we don't have very much historical information about the two events that Jesus is referring to at the beginning of today's gospel. We don't know the story of Pilate mingling the blood of these Galileans with their sacrifices, and we don't know what happened at Siloam. Apparently, a tower fell down and killed 18 people. But really, in spite of not knowing the details of the story or these events, the bottom line message of Jesus is quite clear in both of these cases, and he repeats it. He says it two times. If you do not repent, you will all perish as they did. Seems like a lot of times when we think of repentance, we think of this kind of ominous or threatening message. If you don't repent, then you're going to suffer. If you don't change your life, then you'll die. And maybe there's something to that, but that's not all there is to repentance. Because today's gospel passage goes on to have Jesus telling the parable of the fig tree. Some might actually interpret this part as also an ominous and threatening message. If you don't bear fruit, you're going to get cut down. But actually, we can look at this parable in a different way, in a way that gives a much greater sense of hope than the threatening and do this or else. Because in this parable of the fig tree, we receive the message that God is patient. So here's this gardener who's got this fig tree that hasn't borne fruit for 3 years. And he's ready now to cut it down. But the gardener says, hold on, leave it one more year. I'll cultivate the ground around it, fertilize it, and we'll see. Let's give it another chance to bear fruit. And then if it doesn't bear fruit, then you can cut it down. So eventually there will come a time when it's too late for repentance. But between now and then, the Lord is very patient with us. He's waiting. He'll give us time and chance after chance after chance. Because God understands that we change gradually. Conversion and growth in the spiritual life is not a matter of flashes of light in the sky and miraculous things that happen to just change our hearts right away. I can tell you from my limited experience of growth in the spiritual life, any growth I've experienced has happened gradually, slowly, and sometimes painfully, sometimes in very, very little steps, but it's almost always been a very subtle process. And I'm thankful that God has been so patient with me as I stumble along the way. But I take great courage I think we can all draw courage and comfort from the fact that Jesus is so patient and he understands that conversion happens gradually. Now, it seems like there are these two sides of the coin when it comes to repentance. There is the part where we've got to turn away from the stuff that hinders us. God wants us to let go of sin and to turn away from the things that inhibit our growth in the spiritual life. And if we don't turn away from those things, we're not going to share in the fullness of life. But the other side of the coin, if you will, is a message of hope. Remember that God is a God of love. God is a God of mercy, who doesn't just threaten us with punishment if we don't repent. God's greatest desire is for us to know and experience the fullness of his goodness and the fullness of life that he wants for us. It seems that at times in the spiritual life, we lack imagination. We settle with things the way they are. And maybe even on a good day, we might think, okay, God, you probably do want more for me than what I've got, what I'm the way I'm living right now. But by and large, I think we underestimate the greatness of what God desires for each one of us. And sometimes, too, there might be a bit of fear that accompanies our reflection on what God might invite us to or ask of us or call us to. You know, we might think that it's going to be painful, letting go of these things that we like, or that there's some kind of way in which we are somehow destroyed in order that God may live in us. But this is where the church, in her wisdom, pairs today's gospel with the first reading from Exodus. We have this kind of mystical account of Moses encountering God in the burning bush. But Exodus tells us that while the bush was burning, it was a fire, it was not being consumed. That shrub was not being destroyed as it burned. Presumably, the fire stopped at some point, and perhaps that bush came and grew and flourished. We don't know what happened afterwards. But the image of the burning bush that is aflame and yet not consumed is a great image of the spiritual life, the Christian life. Because God does not want to destroy us in order that his fire may burn in our hearts. God does not, you know, he's not looking to put aside everything that is of us and replace us with himself. But rather, God wants us to live our life that he's given us to the very full. So we ought not be afraid to dream and to imagine and to ponder what it is God might be calling us to. We should not be afraid to even consider that God may want something much grander for our life than we have right now. So we pursue that, or we seek to understand what God wants for us, but that knowledge can only come to us in prayer. In praying, we can approach God and say, Lord, help me to understand what it is that you ask of me or what you're inviting me to. Not just a matter of, Lord, show me the stuff in my life that's holding me back so that I can work on that. That's part of it. But the other side is, Lord, reveal to me something, even a little taste of what you're really offering me. The greatness of what you are offering me. I suspect that the burning bush is really intended to be an image of the Christian. God wants us to live a life that is dynamic and ardent, zealous, radiant, and each in our own way. That means something different for you. Then for you, then for you, then for you, then for you. For all of us, being that burning bush means something unique. But we approach the Lord in prayer to find out what that is. Not only asking that God would reveal that to us and help us understand what it is that he offers us, but that he would also give us the courage to open our hearts to that possibility.